The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, on Tuesday morning, I was just kind of spending some time with the Lord, asking Him. I'm going to be preaching for this Sunday and next Sunday, and I was asking Him what I should preach about. just kind of processing some things. And I got an email from Pastor Dave, who was just given myself and the other elders just kind of an overview of how things were covered while he was gone. And he closed his email with this: "I pray that full-blown radical revival in his presence falls here while I'm gone. We'll just experience it from a distance." How many of you think that sounds like Pastor Dave?
Yeah.
I want you to understand something. You have an awesome pastor who has a heart for more and has a heart for revival. In fact, because of that, it's hard for him and Susie to get away, because it's kind of hard to step out of the harness that, you know, helps bring those things. Not that you bring it or do it, but there is that comes with the role of a senior leader, especially with a church that has the DNA we have of being cutting edge, forerunner type, going for it all type call upon us as a church. It's hard as a leader to disengage from that. That's why in the prayer room this morning I prayed that there would be a grace upon Dave and Susie to be able to disengage, not from God, but from the work of the ministry and from the responsibility. But I do know this, that they carry you in their heart and they carry this place in their heart. And if I could just put it in very worldly terms, they are not slackers. And the vacation that they're on is very much deserved, very much needed. And I just want you to know that. I want you to pray for their refreshing while they're gone. But as I read that, I laughed because I understood where he was coming from. and I felt like I wanted to address the whole thing of revival. His prayer, our pastor's prayer, is that we would have revival. What is revival? And, you know, and we've, as leaders, we've discussed, and we know that to a degree we are in the, if you put it in the context of rain, it is sprinkling. There's an awesome deluge and downpour coming, but it is sprinkling. And we are in revival, and one of the greatest evidences that we're on the edge of more revival is that there is a hunger for it. You can raise your hands, or you don't have to, but how many of you are hungry for revival? You're hungry for the more. You're hungry for something beyond even just a Sunday morning service that's just the same old, same old, same old, that you can just order. This is what we're going to do. This is what they're going to say. This is when they're going to do this. Are you tired of that? Oh, I am.
More.
Yeah, but we want more. Yeah. And sometimes the more interrupts the flow of the order and, you know, of all that. And we're going to be talking about that over the next couple of weeks. And I want to talk about the anatomy of a revival, if I could, or the components of a revival, or the pieces, realizing that you can never really put this into two messages, let alone 10, because the reality is that revival is God's doing, not ours. Now, we do have a part in it, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about our part in a revival that only in reality, that only God can bring, and is bringing, by the way. And He's not bringing it just here. He's bringing it everywhere, because the revival that He's bringing is not about a pastor. It's not about a church. It's not about an evangelist. It's not about an apostle. It's not about a prophet. It's not about which teacher. It's not about any of the fivefold giftings. It's about the presence and power of God resting upon the body of Jesus Christ, who is in the highways and byways in our daily lives, touching and affecting people. And more God is bringing a liberty among His people to release what they carry to those around them. That is the revival that is coming. So that it is hard to define, and it is definitely hard to say, whose name can you put upon it except the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. And that is the reality. And so when we talk about revival, we don't even think in geographic terms, even though components of it may happen somewhere. Amen? Did you get all that? Because that is the reality. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And chapter 2. In chapter 2, Jesus is born. And according to the custom, his mom and dad are bringing him to the temple to present him before God, which was the custom. So as you can imagine, hundreds of babies were being brought to the temple to be dedicated to God, blessed and offered to God. It was a part of the law, part of the commandment. That along with circumcision, we won't get into that. But in verse 25, so they're coming into the temple. And in verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph, his mother, marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phinehas, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all of those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I want to talk this morning about the importance of a people, some people, having a place of prayer and intercession to call forth the future before it ever comes. We just read of two people, one man, one woman. I think God was very wise to do it that way. So we didn't say, well, it's a woman's ministry or it's a man's ministry. No, it's a body of the Christ ministry. It's sons and daughters. But there was a son of God and there was a daughter of God who had a devotion not for God, but by God. I want us to hear that. They had a devotion. Well, they had a devotion for God, but they had a devotion for God because the devotion came from God. And they were a gift to the nation of Israel from God to be voices that were calling in the thing that was not as though it were because it is going to be. And we call this in this day, we call this intercession. Even though the Bible doesn't only talks about two intercessors and you're not one of them, it only talks about intercessors in the sense of Jesus being one and the Holy Spirit being one. But the reality is that you and I can enter into the ministry of Jesus as an intercessor. We can enter into the ministry of the Holy Spirit as an intercessor, and there can begin to be inside of us a cry that is not our own, and a desire for things that are beyond us because of the desire of God to have somebody on planet Earth calling forth the things that do not yet exist, because he knows he fully intends to bring it to pass. And so you have Simeon and Anna who get this. This is the most amazing thing to me, because they had been calling out to God for the coming of the Christ. When he walked in the room, even as an infant, they recognized him. They knew who he was in the infant stage, itty bitty baby. Hundreds of babies coming in the temple to go through this ceremony, which I gotta believe, I'm just being honest, but it had to get pretty monotonous for the leaders and the priests and blah, 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 blah. Here comes another kid. Blah, blah, blah. But Simeon and Anna, in the infant stages, recognized, oh my gosh, here he is. And others would say, he who? But they knew him, and the reason they knew him is because they had been calling him forth and pulling him in for years. Anna, for years, she had been married for about 7 years. Her husband died. She is now a widow. She's 84 years. If you just did the math, in reality, probably for 50 to 60 years, she spent in the temple, did not leave, in fasting and prayer for that day right there when baby Jesus comes into the temple. And the reality is, once he's there, he who has begun a good work will bring it to completion. Once he's there, it's like the little girl. I didn't even see the connection. Now I know why we embarrassed this little girl. Once he's on the earth, he's going to grow up to be a man, right? Sure, he's just an itty-bitty baby. No, he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And at least two people on the planet know it. It's kind of like King George. He's a king, and they're calling him king already, and he can't even get by without getting his diaper changed. Isn't it amazing? And they recognized him. And one of the components to revival is people who call it in and contend for it before it's ever there. And they are the people that when even, you know, I said earlier, if you compare, I like to compare it to a rainstorm, because how many of you know, after you've got a few years under your belt, you can be outside and you can know, you can smell, you can sense it in the air. You know that you know rain is coming. You can, now I know there's times when it shows up uninvited and on announced, if I could, but a lot of times it's like, oh, it's going to rain. You might not like it, or you may like it, doesn't matter, but you realize it's going to rain. And so it is in this day. And so people who are contending for the rain, even at the slightest sprinkle, it's like, ooh, and everyone else, what's wrong with you? It's raining. No, it's not. Yes, it is. I felt a drop. I did. I felt a drop. For years, I was a union carpenter. We would draw a 1 foot square in the ground if it was sprinkling, and if 10 drops fell in it, shut the job down. We're out of here. Intercessors are kind of like that. It's like, oh, look, did you see that? Did you see that? Yeah. And others say, yeah, I saw it, but what are you all excited about? It's coming. What's coming? rain, it's coming. Can't you smell it? Not really. One of the components to revival is a people who hunger and thirst for it and recognize it at the slightest little, just a little shift in the wind of the Spirit. And it's like, whew, did you feel that? Not really. I want to put this in context of, do you know that one of the best, Jesus used it often, one of the best analogies for the things of the kingdom is agriculture? Did you know that? Now, we know that Jesus used a lot of agricultural examples because of who he was talking to. But the reality is, because the kingdom of God is not, and the church, is not an organization, it's an organism, it isn't organized, it grows. So Jesus said things like, the kingdom of God is as if a man planted a seed, and how it grows he does not know. Or he said, the kingdom of God is like leaven, which is put in, you know, in three measures or meals of bread, and it doesn't work, it rises. Or the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and it's planted, it's the tiniest of seeds, and yet it grows to a tree that the birds can launch in. The kingdom is very much like agriculture. It is about growth. It isn't about organization. It's about an organism. So I want to bring this whole thing into a picture that we... Is Duane here this morning? Duane and Joni? Oh, there they are. I'm going to pick on them a little.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you, last week, the kids had, the Sunday school had corn for sale. How many of you bought some? That was awesome. Anyway, for those of you who don't know, Duane and Joni grew it just down the road over here. And the reality is that Duane grew that corn a year ago. You mean we bought year-old corn? No, I didn't say that. But he began to step into the role of an intercessor, and he began to intercede for the corn that you ate last week by preparing the field last fall. He thought about it all winter long. This spring, he planted seed with the John Deere. Yeah, let's get John Deere in there. I mean, even the Bible mentions John. So he planted the corn with a John Deere. And Jim, I know Jim is probably, is he in here? Jim Early. He shared at a staff meeting why I do not know. Well, I do know now. He shared at a staff meeting that he took the time to count the kernels on one of the pieces of corn that he took home. And our first thought, and I think someone said it out loud, Jim, you have too much time on your hands. For those of you who don't know, Jim is retired. And I think, and maybe you remember, Kathy, I think he said something like 740 kernels. Does that sound right?
Wow. I thought it was 470, but...
Okay. Same numbers, just different. Somewhere, there was a lot of them. And the amazing thing is that on just one thing, there's 400 or 700, whatever it is. I'm probably being a little evangelistic. Anyway. Preachers do that, you know. But anyway, that's just one cob on a stalk, you know, and how many are on a stalk, and that comes from one seed. And I know you usually plant three seeds in a for pollination, but the reality is that Think of the number of kernels that came from one kernel. It's like amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And the reality is you can count the number of kernels on the cob, but you can't count the number of cobs in one kernel. Think about it. If you plant that seed, you just it's unfathomable. But the reality is that is a picture of intercession. Duane planted the seed in intercession. He planted it in faith for something that was to come, but is not here yet. He cultivated it in faith. He kept the rodents and the deer away from it in faith. He watered it in faith, all for something that is buried under the ground and supposedly is there. If his John Deere planter was working right. Faith, faith, faith. Intercession, stepping into the gap for that which is not here yet, but is coming. And that is a picture, that is an agricultural picture of intercession. And he goes out there one day, and there's a little tiny green thing poking up. And you know what he sees? Corn. It's corn. You and I look at it, no, that's a blade of grass. No, that's corn. Now, the reality is, and so it is with Simeon and Anna, and I'm going to keep in the spiritual context, the intercession and the labor of one profited the many. And so it was with Simeon and Anna. And I'll tell you this. I personally believe that Jesus could not have come to earth without Simeon and Anna. Only because that's part of God's design. I also believe that Jesus could have not have stepped into his ministry without John the Baptist. It wasn't just like a good idea. It was a God idea, and it was a necessity. It was a necessity that earthlings who have an ability to get the heart of God and begin to see the future, begin to call it in, that they who have authority on this planet begin to call in, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy heavens Christ be done on earth as it is in heaven," and calling in and pulling in the Savior. Pulling on heaven. It was a necessity because God had put man in authority on the earth. So an earthling had to be involved in the process. An earthling called John the Baptist had to be involved in the process of releasing the earthling called Jesus Christ into ministry. Because the reality, John was born of a woman. Jesus was born of the Spirit and of a woman. And in a way, John the Baptist opened the door for the man Christ Jesus to come on in and minister. And you know where his ministry ended. You want to talk, we're going to be celebrating the greatest form of intercession that ever took place here a little bit later. That's intercession. That's why he's called the intercessor. He called in that which no one else could do or see. But he saw it. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. I want to do something this morning. I want to honor intercessors and prayer warriors. And when I say that, I know this. I know that there are prayer warriors and intercessors in this room who, a couple of different things. Some of you know you are, but you wish you weren't. And it scares you, especially when you hear a message like this. Some of you know you are and embrace it. Some of you are and don't know it. The reality is that we as a church need you. And I want to honor you. And I, by the way, I told Pastor Dave I was going to be doing this. Not that, and obviously, he said, yeah. But we need you. One of the components that is in place, and I understand this. It's not that we're putting in place something that isn't. No. We are blessing and honoring something that is already in place. And we're acknowledging it, we're honoring it, we're blessing it, and we're saying, yes, yes, yes. How do you know if you're an intercessor? That's a tough question. And I almost want to use the word intercessor or prayer warrior or person of intense prayer. We were in 1998. We had just finished 5 months of revival meetings. And we were in Argentina at a conference. Marcy and I and Ken and Carrie were there and some other people from the community. I don't think anyone else that's here this morning. But we were at a conference and Cindy Jacobs spoke. And laid hands on people. Marcy and I went up and went down. And after some time on the carpet, the meeting was over. And we went to the lobby. And as is customary, she went to the woman's room and I went to the men's room. And as customary, I was done way before her and was out in the lobby waiting. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice that I know very well. It is the voice of my wife, and she is wailing. And the first thought that came to me is the thought of travailing or giving birth. This had never happened to her before, never happened to me before. And it was, here's what I really felt like. I felt like a father out in the waiting room, but I knew I couldn't go in. I know in today's ways we can, but I felt like the old-fashioned father where you can't be in the room, and I couldn't go in the room because it's a woman's bathroom. And the reality is that there had been an impartation of intercession that the Lord had released to her and upon her, and she was in travail for some things and had a little bit of a sense of what it was about. Actually, it was about our city. And but I couldn't go in. Thankfully, there was another intercessor in the room who understood what was going on and stood with her and helped her process it. And after a while, she came out. But from time to time, that has happened when there's a real travail. Happened at an elders and wives gathering recently. Just where, and by the way, we have a number of prayer warriors in this church who the travailing Spirit of God comes upon them. And I've often said to her, man, that must be tough. She says, no, it's the most blessed place in the world to be. And it's like, okay, good. Bless you. But I do understand that. How many of you know that being and doing what God has called you to do is you can do it with a blessing. You can do it with, even if it's tough, it's like, yeah, this is what I was born for. And I say all that to say that for some of you, you may have times when such a burden comes upon you and you know that it's not yours because, to be really honest, you don't care that much. in and of yourself, or you don't love that much in and of yourself, or you don't want to be that involved in and of yourself. But the reality is that the Christ lives in you, who is the intercessor of all intercessors. The reality is the Holy Spirit lives within you, who is the intercessor of all intercessors, and you carry something that is not yours, it is His, and you have a devotion to that thing, at least for the moments that you're in it. Not for Him, but from Him. And you have a love for whatever it is. You have a tenacity. When my wife gets in that place, she is like, oh my goodness. She's like a bulldog. And the little quiet Mercy Marcy is like, but it's God. And it's the presence of God. It's the life of God. It's the flow of the Spirit. And some of you maybe have that come upon you, and you haven't even fully understood what it is. I want you to know that that is a spirit of prayer. That is the weightiness of the caring heart of God concerning whatever it is coming upon you. And it's not about you. It's about something much bigger than you. It's about the church. It's about the kingdom. It's about the revival. It's about whatever it is not you. It's bigger than you, but you get to be involved. There are some of you who maybe get woken up in the middle of the night and you just need to pray. That's intercession. You get woken up in the middle of the night and someone like me would say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And you say, no, you don't understand. I had an hour with Jesus, or whatever. Or you get up early in the morning, and not because you have to, but because you can't help it. And you just spend that time with God, but there is a prayerful pulling. And by the way, not all prayer is verbal. There is a prayer, there is a words that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit gives us utterance with words that cannot be uttered. And there is a pulling on heaven, and it's not always verbal. In fact, even some of the travailing sometimes, we encourage people to try to put it into words, or someone, very often when she's travailing, I get an impression of what it's about. And I give verbiage to the groanings that cannot be uttered. By the way, if you're here this morning, you say, I don't know, this sounds a little flaky to me. Well, Paul said, I am in travail until Christ be formed in you. And there is a... Now, if you're here this morning and you don't understand this, I want you to know that's okay. If you're here this morning and you say, I don't want anything to do with this, I want you to know that's okay. We all have our unique giftings and purposes. But I am going to ask if those of you who are intercessors, prayer warriors, people who carry a prayer burden, if you would please come up and just line up across the front. We just want to bless you. We want to honor you. And I know some of you are hesitant to come up because here's one of the things about this ministry. You love the closet. You love the hiding place. I know this is hard for some of you because you love the hidden place. And we'll let you go back to your hidden place very soon. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to prompt any others who haven't come forward to come forward. More, Lord. Now, I want to say again, if you are in your seat and you did not come forward, that is just fine. That isn't what this is about. I want to say to those of you who came forward, thank you for your devotion from God and the way that you have allowed him to use you and will continue to allow him to use you to pull on heaven. I feel like there's still a few more people that should come forward, and the reason and the way that you know is it's like there's a burning in your heart. Those of you in the body, I want you to know, probably more often than we know, these people have interceded for some of us, some of you. Sometimes maybe unknowingly or not knowing why, but have prayed for us with more tenacity than our mother might. Because it's not from our mother, it's from our Father. Come on up. Is this for her or you or both? Good. Welcome. Thank you for your devotion to prayer. Thank you for the willingness you have to give of your time for things that God cares about, shares his care and his concern with you. I realize that you do not all pray the same. Some of you might pray from a list. Some of you pray when it comes, you know, when you feel moved. There is no right way. Father, I thank you for these men and women of God who pull on heaven for various things, some for revival, some for people they love, some for situations, some for our nation, some for our city, some for our president, whatever. But they pull on heaven because of your heart for all those things. I'd like you all to put out your hands as if you were going to receive something, and you are. I believe the Lord wants to put something in your hands that will equip you for this work of ministry that we're talking about. It might be a sword, it might be a scepter, it might be a scroll. It might be a number of things. But I would like you to turn your attention toward God. Father, I just ask you to impart an impartation to these men and women of God, your sons, your daughters, for this work of prayer, of intercession. Put it in their hands, Lord. Just receive it by faith. Some of you are feeling it. I see tears. Some of you are sensing it. Some of you may feel a weightiness in your hands. It's okay to laugh, sister. I know you've maybe never been here before, but we laugh here. Now, I want you to just keep holding steady and ask God to put it in your hand. Now, I want you to ask God what he just gave you. You know your Father's voice. How many of you that are up here felt you sensed the Lord putting something in your hand and you heard him say what it is? Could you just, one word, what is it?
Robe of righteousness.
Robe of righteousness.
A cross that keeps changing from pearl to wood to copper to gold to brass.
Okay. Who else raised their hand?
Liquid. Okay. I believe blood.
Okay.
A mighty sword.
A sword. Okay.
Paintbrush, pen.
Paintbrush. I want to come back to that. That is very good. Anyone else?
A big, huge bag of treasures and blessings.
Ah, awesome. Did you say?
Say a that. Face.
A face?
A vase.
A vase. Okay. Anyone else?
A trowel.
A trowel. Whoa. Whew. Could I preach on that? Anyone else?
A sword.
A sword?
A dashboard.
A dashboard. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Or a cockpit. A few from over on this side. Yes.
It was a scepter, but it was also to be used as a club.
Okay. Yeah. If you know how to use a scepter, it is a club.
Mine was a sword, but it was on fire.
Ah, the sword on fire. Anyone else?
A spoon.
A spoon.
The Bible, the word of truth.
The word.
To speak the word.
Amen. I bet you pray with the word.
Golden scepter.
Ooh, yeah, oh, I believe that.
That's what I got.
Yeah, I believe that.
A scroll to eat.
Okay, yep, yes.
A compassionate heart for those who don't know they're lost.
Okay, amen.
A huge sharp axe that was used to cut the captives out of captivity.
Mm, awesome, wow.
I got the shawl of righteousness. It was actually a blanket. And he gave me this big bowl first, and he told me that because I had some doubts if I'm, up here for the right reason. And he just said that he had this big coconut bowl, and it was for mixing the ministry work that I have. And it's
amen.
Many things. It's
yeah.
not just one.
But that's part of it, and you should be up here. I know that.
I saw like a treble clef and like a musical staff.
Ah,
and so music.
Okay, I want to come back to that.
The word.
The word.
Declaring the word.
Yeah, I know that. Amen. You know, anyone else that I'm missing?
A large serving platter.
Ah, wow.
Whoa.
You know, we need to understand. Now, if you're sitting out there and you say, well, I don't know about this, I want to encourage you, this is real. And they're seeing and they're hearing what they're seeing and hearing. And it's very real to them. Now, we may or may not understand, but how many of you know God is bigger than our understanding? How many of you know that very few people understood what on earth Anna was doing in the temple all those years? Or Simeon. I want to come back to this. Tammy said a paintbrush and someone else said, we need to understand that intercession is more than just prayer with words. It can be prayer with music. It can be prayer with art. It can be, see, there are a number. Think about this. Think about the ability to see the thing that is not as though it were and paint a picture of it. And let the painting speak for that which is coming. Think of the ability to be able to be musically inclined and to be able to write a song or to play a song or to enter into prophetic declaration one time and one time only, but an intercession concerning the things that are coming before they're here with a confidence and a boldness, yes, and an authority to call in that thing that is not as though it were because it will be. One thing I've learned about intercessors is they know that they know that they know that they know that what they're pulling in is real. And so when one of them says, I felt the Lord give me this or this or this, they know that they know. And it doesn't really matter what you think or what I think. because it's between them and their God. It's between them and Him who has called them, and they know that they know. One of the reasons that the whole thing of prayer and intercession is a secret place ministry is because people with a passion to pray are just annoying. I can't believe he said that. No, I mean, they have such a zeal for God, and they're so sure of what they see and what they hear, and the reality is that they can make some of us who maybe don't understand or don't see it like they do, and it's like, oh, come on. And they can make us uncomfortable. Can I encourage you? In a minute, I'm going to release you as the body to come up and pray for these. But can I encourage you to thank God for these men and women? Can I encourage you to honor them? And I don't mean bow, or I just mean just have a respect for them. How many of you can have a respect for something you just do not understand? That's okay. But I'm telling you as a leader, I'm telling you it's real. And I'm telling you that as a leader, I am so thankful for intercessors and prayer people who have prayed for me and my wife and our kids who are both here this morning. Thank you. Thank you for the tenacity you have for the things that don't seem real. Father, I ask you to give these men and women a tenacity to be able to contend for the things that they've seen, to continue to fight for it, continue to go after it. I come against doubt in the name of Jesus. I come against weariness in well-doing. In the name of Jesus, I just break it off. I just have a sense that there's some of you who know that you know your intercessors, but there's been a little bit of a disappointment, and a hope deferred can make the heart sick. And I just speak health to your heart and to the zeal that you have. I call for a zeal to come into your prayer life and into your intercession, whatever it looks like, whatever type of prayer you are, whether it's by music or whatever it is, we just call it in the name of Jesus. A new, fresh zeal, youthfulness. Except you become as a little child, Jesus said. I can tell you this, these are some of the most childlike people in this congregation. They just believe. But Father, where they've lost that childlikeness to believe for the impossible, refire it, Father.